I'm Ted Ludlum, and you have stumbled onto my little podcast, Almost Paradise in North Idaho. You know, every so often, I meet someone whose life seems to weave together worlds that don't usually touch. My guest this week is one of those people. She's a feature writer for our local newspaper, telling stories of farmers and business owners, teachers, firefighters, and neighbors who make Boundary County what it is. But when the house quiets down and the lights dim, another side of her imagination comes alive. She writes paranormal romance novels, stories filled with mystery, love, and hints of the supernatural. And if that weren't enough, she's also a mother of 5 children. She does it all, somehow balancing news deadlines and the tug of creativity that never really sleeps. What I find so interesting is how she lives in both the visible and the invisible. Her journalism deals with facts and verifiable details, but her fiction explores what might lie beyond what we can touch or prove. We may not all write novels or chase deadlines, but each of us walks through the same terrain between what we can see and what might be. And maybe that's what makes life in North Idaho and everywhere else such a mystery worth living. This dance between the ordinary and the extraordinary, the visible and the other unseen, where faith keeps whispering, there's more to the story. Some of her books are geared toward a younger audience, but others are a little spicier. She is her own woman, a mom, and a member of the community who enjoys combining her creative energy, imagination, and writing skills. Now, don't miss my reflection at the end of the interview, and thanks for hitting the play button. And now, on with the show. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another podcast of Almost Paradise in North Idaho. And we're up here in North Idaho, just about 30 miles from the Canadian border. Autumn has set in. It's kind of wet and cloudy. We have a tree up here called the larch. And you think they're evergreens, but they're not. And they turn yellow, strikingly beautiful yellow, and then they lose their needles for the winter. And they're just gorgeous on the mountainside with all the other normally green evergreen trees. So it's just beautiful up here, and the weather's starting to turn. So we're going to be looking at snow in the not-too-distant future, which I'm not thrilled about. And meanwhile, I have a guest here who I don't think she's thrilled about snow either. Anyway, Jennifer Wright, who is with the local Bonner's Ferry Herald newspaper. How you doing, Jennifer?
I'm doing all right today.
Yeah, that's good, because you're probably doing better than me. And Jennifer is the, what is it, editorial assistant?
Editorial assistant.
That's right. And feature writer.
Yeah. Well, I think of it more like the community writer. That's mainly what I do.
Okay. You get to write the fun stuff.
Yeah.
You don't have to do the hardcore, nitty-gritty, follow the car accident at 2 a.m. story.
No, I don't get to do those. And I prefer doing the fun stuff. So
this is good for you. Okay. Jennifer, you, how long have you been with the newspaper?
So I've worked in newspaper in general for about 7 years. I was previously advertising, so sales and marketing, and I did a couple of years at the Daily Bee, and then they moved me over.
Now, is that the Daily Bee or the Daily Beast?
The Daily
Bee, as in Bumblebee. Yeah. Okay. All right.
At the Daily Bee in Sandpoint, and then they moved me up here to Bonner's Ferry because I lived in Naples. And so I did a couple of years in advertising at the Herald there. And then I was at home for a couple of years, and I came back as the editorial assistant.
So do you miss advertising?
No.
Oh.
The only thing I would miss about it is doing things for the community, getting to interact with our community members, helping our community and the businesses in our community. And I get to do that through editorial assistant work as well. So,
well, I early on, and I think I mentioned my name. Maybe I should mention my name. My name is Ted Ludlam with this podcast, by the way. We're a real professional product here. But I got my original degree in journalism way back in the 70s at Kansas State University. So they tried to get me to do advertising, and I just know I had no interest in doing advertising.
It's not a job for everybody. And, you know, discovered through it, I'm actually pretty good at it, but I don't like having to sell people things or...
You're not an Amway person? No.
I don't care to do that. And mainly it's just the whole pressure of like what's involved in advertising. There's always numbers and there's always not deadlines, but goals that you have to hit and things like that. And that was harder for me to work under.
Right. And there's rejection.
Yeah.
Which I didn't like.
Yeah. And that part of it is not fun as well. But when you're somebody who has empathy, it makes it even harder.
Right. You're just too soft-hearted.
Well, I care about people. And, you know, part of what you do in advertising, especially, you know, in small towns, is you're helping the community. So you're finding ways that they can grow their businesses. You're finding how that's your goal, you know, but it's, you know, everybody's going to tell you no at some point or another. And it's hard not to take those things personally. It's, you know, it's just hard to care no all the time, especially when you have those goals.
So, Jennifer, I ask a couple of questions at the start of my podcast with my guests, and we're so happy to have you as a guest here. So who is Jennifer Wright?
Jennifer Wright is a mother, and I'm a writer. I'm an author as well. I don't know. That's pretty much all there is to it these days.
And what have you written?
So I write paranormal romance novels.
Paranormal romance novels.
Yes.
Okay. Kind of like Twilight, the TV series?
Yeah.
Or the movies. I guess they're movies.
I mean, that's a simple way to explain them. Yeah.
I'm a simple guy. And many of my audience are simple too. So we'll keep it simple.
Yeah. They're all involve some sort of paranormal and some sort of romance.
Okay.
I have adult, more ones that run more on the adult side, and I have ones that run on the YA, so for young adult side as well.
Getting for kindergarten, that's me.
Yeah, no.
No kindergarten. So what are some of the names of your books and where can people find them?
So the most heard of one is probably The Vampire Hunter's Daughter, which is my young adult.
That sounds intriguing.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's actually a collection of novellas, and there are a lot of them. So I have those, and then I have my more adult series, which is the Graveyard Guardian series.
Graveyard Guardian. And this is great for Halloween. Tomorrow, we're recording this. Tomorrow is Halloween. This is it.
So I do that. And then I also, on the side, do social media work for other authors. So I have side gigs that I do there.
Well, I wondered why you dressed up as a vampire. For the interview, no.
Just I didn't bring my fangs.
Oh, no. Actually, she did not dress up as a vampire. But you could have.
I could have.
Yeah. We could just say you did, even though you didn't.
I never dress up on Halloween anymore.
Oh, no?
No, it's been a long time. Halloween? Weirdly, even though I write paranormal stuff, Halloween's not my favorite holiday.
What is your favorite holiday?
The 4th of July.
Oh, well, okay.
Because it's not as commercialized as some of the other holidays, and it's all just about food, fun, and family and friends.
Okay. But you write about the exact opposite. Okay. Now, where would we find your books?
You can find them on Amazon right now. I used to have them on more retailers that I've whittled down to just Amazon.
Okay. And again, to search for your Jennifer Wright?
Yeah. Oh, Jennifer Malone Wright with the M-A-L-O-N-E.
Oh, that's your writing name or?
Yes, that's my pen name.
Oh, okay. Well, we all need a pen name.
I do have some print copies at home. People want print copies from me.
Then you could autograph them. And then they'd be worth lots of money.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Okay.
I don't know how much. Maybe some.
So,
Dan.
So what does Jennifer Wright want to do when she grows up?
Be found on a beach riding my boats with like a margarita or some pretty drink next to me.
Okay. Any particular beach or it doesn't matter?
No particular.
Not the Coeur d'Alene Beach.
The warm.
A warm.
But yeah, not the cold blue there.
No. Okay. So, and where did Jennifer come from? How did you get to Bonner, Surrey?
So, I'm going to say it. Originally, I was born in California, and I lived there. And
do I need to edit that out? There's a lot of people. You're one of the good ones.
Yes.
We hope.
There are many good ones.
Okay. Well, that's more question than a little bit, and my listeners can decide.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I was born in California, and I lived there till I was about 13, and my dad had the family's from here, so I moved up here. And from 13 to 17, I lived here. And then I went back for a couple of years because I had my first baby at 17. And then I was about 21 when I moved back here to Idaho from California. And then I married my husband, my ex-husband, at 22. And we spent some time moving around. We went to Texas and Washington and then back here in 2007. And then we did a bunch of moving around up in this area, Coolin, Priest River, Laquie, and then eventually Naples.
So you're an Idaho girl, not a California girl.
I am an Idaho girl.
I'm an Hooper. Okay, that means a lot. That means a lot. Another question I ask all my guests, and the answers can be kind of interesting. The name of my podcast is Almost Paradise in North Idaho. Okay. How is it here, Almost Paradise? What keeps bringing you back?
The summers here. That's what I'm just over this. I'm over winter. I'm over snow and cold, and it's like that for so long here, and that makes it rough for me. So that makes it almost paradise.
And what makes it not almost paradise is the opposite.
Right. The beautiful mountains and just the summers and the lakes. But
the opposite is the snow.
Oh, yeah.
In the winter. So it's not almost paradise.
Right.
And it's more than just snow. I mean, it's snowy, but it's just the cloudy and gray.
Yeah, just having it be gray for like 9 months out of a year is rough.
Yeah. So all of you in California, listen to that and think about that.
Yeah. You don't want it.
Yeah, yeah, we're full. No vacancies up here. That's right. So, and you just kind of stumbled into journalism.
Yeah, well, I did take a little journalism in college. I took some college and I ended up not being able to finish because I guess we didn't mention it when we talked about who I am. I have 5 kids.
Okay.
So it became a little rough for me to do any continuing education. So I can't remember exactly how much I have, but I did take journalism in college, and that was something I was still writing, and I have always loved writing, and that's what I wanted to do. And it was a way for me to still write, and I like people, I guess. I mean, being around people and helping people and stuff like that. So I could also use that as a journalist too.
Well, I know it's interesting about like journalism and working on newspaper is every day is different, I think, as I remember.
Yeah, it's definitely not the same every day. And I appreciate that. I appreciate going into the office and having to be different every single day, not the same monotonous thing. And, you know, so my sister is also, I don't know, Lamish, if you even knew this from before when we talked, but my sister was in journalism as well.
No.
Yeah, my sister was actually a reporter at the Daily Beat for quite some time.
Okay.
And that's how I got into working at the newspaper. So my sister worked there, and they had a job opening for advertising, and I was like, should I apply for this?
She gave you a good reference, apparently.
Oh, yeah. A reference from her.
Is she still working there?
No, my sister actually is I can't remember her exact title, but she's like the director at the conservation district in Newport.
Oh, wow.
She worked for the city for a little while after she was
Like with Fish and Game? Conservation district? Or you don't know for sure?
I don't know for sure.
I don't know what she does.
Outside stuff.
Well, let's call her up right now.
Fishing game. I don't think they have anything. They might work like with them on some things, but they get, I don't know exactly what they do, but I know she writes a lot of grants and they work in tandem with a lot of different places as well.
Good.
But yeah, she went from being a journalist to working from the city, and now she works at Social Fish.
Journalism can lead people to a variety of things, because in the process of being a journalist for a newspaper, you get to meet a lot of people.
Yeah. And I have always heard that a segue from journalism is usually like political stuff for cities.
So. Yeah. It can be. It can be go into that. It can go into law, even. Mm-hmm. There's just so many opportunities. And anybody thinking of going into a career and you're not quite sure what to do, if you've got any kind of interest in writing, journalism isn't bad, because it can lead you to other directions that you may not expect.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So why should people subscribe to the Bonner's Ferry Herald and read the Bonner's Ferry Herald?
So you know what's going on in Bonner's Ferry.
Yeah.
Outer County.
Now, when we first moved up here about 13 years ago, they always had a feature where somebody would be like in China or Europe somewhere or Africa or whatever, and they'd have a picture of themselves. The Bonner's Ferry Herald is here.
We could totally bring that back.
And you remember that?
Bull. Yeah, we have our books of newspapers. So we have these books that have all the newspapers from way back when. Each one has like a year of newspapers. And I like looking at all the stuff from way back in history.
Right. So that's kind of a cool little feature that you might want to bring back. What are some of the other features of the newspaper that you particularly like?
Oh, currently?
Yeah.
I personally like to read the opinion.
Oh, okay.
The opinions that then see what people have to say that's just from everybody out in the community. So I like to read those. And I don't know. I mean, my stuff's pretty good.
Your stuff is pretty good. That's right. I wrote a few letters to the editor back in the day, but I haven't done it for a long time. And I kept hate. I didn't like getting all the hate mail and the threats. No.
Right. I haven't gotten any threat.
No. No. Well, you don't have a column.
No.
Would you be interested in having a column?
I don't know what it would be, though, because I hate being like pinned down to one thing. So I don't know if I was to have a column, I would like to do it just specifically like about like books or movies or weird, something like that. You know,
I got an idea. Unsolved Mysteries of North Idaho, haunted houses, vampires, which does haunt us. Yeah, there you go. You know, just crime stories that have never quite been resolved.
Right.
You know, or you could just be Irma Bombett and just present your humor in a way that would captivate the readers.
Right.
Yeah.
I just have a hard time, like, if I had a column, I think it would just have to be like something that I could do like different things on. You know, I couldn't be pegged down to one specific topic. So I think I'd have, because I get to write about so much stuff now.
Yeah. And you know what? You kind of strike me. Did you ever read Andy Rooney? Andy Rooney. I got his book here somewhere. He wrote a couple of books. He used to be a columnist for like the Chicago newspapers. And every column was different. He might write a column about shoes.
Right.
And then the next week it'd be a column about football. And then the next column would be about furniture.
Right.
Bake sales. He just wrote different columns, different things he had on his mind. And I could see you do something like that.
Yeah. And I kind of get to do it now because, I mean, I get to write about whatever, mostly what's going on. You know, my time is mostly consumed by that. But if I have an idea for something and I pitch it to my editor, she's usually cool about letting
right.
us. Right. As long as it's pertinent.
Now, a lot of people out there might be wondering, Andy Rooney, that seems familiar. Andy Rooney always had about a 5-minute segment on 60 Minutes.
Oh.
That's what one of the things that later on in his career. And he would just, whatever, bloviate, is that the word? About whatever was on his mind at that time. So you could do a little 5-minute thing once in a while on the podcast here about whatever's on your mind. See, that'd be pretty cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah. So anyway, just a thought. something for you to percolate on.
I will. I know I always thought about starting a podcast for myself, but that was always the problem. They want you to like niche down, say it's about one thing, and I can't just have it be like one thing. It would be this whole like just whatever is on my thoughts today.
See, this is going to be, I think, episode 83 or 82, and I still don't know what my podcast is about.
Spout.
I have no idea.
Almost Paradise.
Yeah, it's about Almost Paradise or not. So what are a couple of your stories that really stand out that you enjoy doing?
So a couple of my favorite stories. I really enjoyed doing the story where the fire departments, all 7 fire departments, got together for a training where they got to burn down a house in town. The house was donated by the church for them, and it's pretty rare event for the all 7 of the fire departments to come together and be able to do that kind of live training, like with live fire.
As opposed to dead fire.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, as
a house is burning.
Yeah, like the training, you know, usually it's actual fire that they get to train in. That was very cool to get to see and talk to everybody in the different departments. And then I really enjoyed doing stories like all the different stories I did about Zuko, the search and rescue dog.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it was like a whole like series of like this happened, that he's doing better, and this is the updates.
And then he had a relapse. Oh, then he got bad. Then it got better.
Yeah, it got better.
Yeah.
No.
He was fine.
As far as I know, he got better and he was able to return to work.
Okay. And he isn't chasing cars, we hope.
No idea.
We'll need to do a follow-up.
I know. Yeah, that would be good. Maybe we should. We'll find out how Zuko's doing.
See, I worked for a volunteer. I was a volunteer for the fire department up here, North Bench, for a few weeks. And yeah, they put me in charge of making sure the water truck was full of water. Well, I didn't know. It was not my fault. One day, I accidentally put gasoline in the water tanks. That didn't work out well.
Did you really?
No.
Oh,
thanks.
Makes sense.
I thought that's a good story, though. It's like I do stories, you know. If I get a scratch with a band aid, they'll say, "What happened?" I'll say, "Well, I ran into this mountain lion up." You can't just say, "Well, I cut it on the can opener." That's boring. You got to make something up, make it good, right? So, yeah, I put gasoline in the water tanks. So it's a fire truck. Yeah. So I got fired. I got fired by the fire department. Don't tell the fire chief that. I'm actually friends with him. Well, maybe not anymore. Giving people ideas. So those are your 2 favorite stories.
Yeah, that I can think of right off the top of. I enjoy doing, there's a lot that I enjoy.
Well, you probably have stories on every issue, don't you?
Oh, yeah. A lot of times you won't see my name on them because they're just short, or a lot of them are just like, so a lot of what I do being editorial assistant is taking, like, I'll make the press release, do the press releases, the short stuff that's just like a little blurb that has no byline. A lot of times that's me. So a lot of times my byline won't be on it unless it's a large book long enough to have a byline on it.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, it sounds like you need to politic for more space and stuff, you know, byline.
It's just the amount of things we have going into. There's, you know, we have a lot of things going in, so that have to get in there.
Now, you had a reporter in there for a while that I really liked, Ned Newton.
Yeah, Ned.
I was surprised he was only there for like, 8 months, 9 months?
Yeah, he had other things he was gonna go to. Oh, it's just escaping.
Spain?
Yeah.
Spain! Where the rain falls mainly on the plain.
Yeah. Shush. He's off pursuing.
Is he in Spain?
So last I heard, it was happening soon.
Soon?
Maybe even.
Wow. Who knows?
Yeah. I don't recall the date, but I knew that it was happening.
I have his phone number. We should call him right now.
You know, what do you do?
If I only had, I need to figure out how to connect my phone to we could have a 3-way conversation.
Right?
That'd be kind of cool.
Bring him on here.
Yeah. Yeah. But who knows? Who knows? So anyway, Ned is gone, and we have a new reporter.
Yeah, Noah Harris.
Noah Harris. And he just started, what, a few weeks ago, a month ago?
I would say it was about a month ago.
Yeah. And so he's got big shoes to fill.
Yes. And I had a lot going on in my life lately. It feels like time has been going by kind of fast. So I'm like, remember how long it's been, but it feels like about a month.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's getting adjusted to the climate, I hope, because he is from where?
He's from California.
Southern California?
Southern California.
Oh, yeah. Does he have any idea what winter is bringing?
This will be his first one here. We've told him, and he is a little chilly. He is a little chilly so far, but...
if he's chilly now, he's going to be...
acclimated, though. Uh-huh. Who knows? Maybe he'll love it.
Just go down to the store and get another coat.
Right. I know, yeah. We have our little heaters at our desks, so we all stay nice and toasty at our desks.
They'll be fine.
So. You know, you never know. Sometimes until you get here and you do it, and that's when you know people can end up.
Yeah. Well, you got to build it up to be really bad, right, so that in the end, it wasn't that bad.
Right.
You know?
Well, like the last couple of years haven't really been that bad, though.
Either. No, it hasn't.
Like Ned was like, well, this isn't that bad, you know.
This isn't a big deal. It's fine. Well, about 7 years ago when we had the 5 feet of snow overnight, that was fun.
Yeah. We lived out in Naples then, and we were going outside and just saying like, what? Where's everyone to work?
Do we even get out of the house?
No, it was bad. We had to shovel the amount of shoveling just to get to where the cars were.
Well, they were shoveling snow off the roofs of buildings so they wouldn't collapse.
Yeah.
Including the high school building.
All that. I remember.
Wow.
That was a rough time.
So what does your typical day look like at work?
So the typical day, I will come to work.
What time?
Usually between 8 and 10.
That's rough life.
I live part-time.
Oh, see, I didn't even know that.
I can sort of adjust the hours to what is needed for work. So if I have certain things that, but usually I'm consolidated to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So I usually do longer days on Monday and Tuesday because our deadline is on Wednesday. And so those days are longer, but I usually come to work between 8 and 10. My kids go to school at 8, so depending on how ready I am, I usually try to be at work at 8.
And I might mention to my loyal listeners in South America that we have a weekly newspaper. It's not a daily newspaper. That makes a big difference.
I know. I guess I should have mentioned that before, too. It does make a difference in what we do every day.
And that's kind of what I grew. All the papers that I really worked on a regular basis were weekly newspapers. And so Thursdays and Fridays were, you could relax. And then Monday it started to build up again. And then Tuesday and Wednesday were crazy.
Yeah, that's what, after Wednesday afternoon and Thursdays have always been kind of our more like, relaxed days a little bit. And then, but with my, I only have a certain amount of hours. So I have to sort of spread mine out because even though the deadline on Wednesday, I still have to figure out what's going to happen if I have meetings on Thursdays and Friday. And sometimes we have weekend events. We have to go to stuff on the weekends and cover them. So I have to figure out what's going to happen.
Absolutely. So do you think you prefer working on a weekly paper?
I don't think I would be able to hang in a daily paper.
Now, the Daily Bee is obviously a daily newspaper in Sandpoint.
Yeah.
And you worked on that a little bit.
So I was in advertising.
Right. That's different
thing. But yeah, and I really don't remember how.
You're kind of like me. I predict so true.
It's always there when you're doing advertising. So I don't remember it being. I don't remember being running harder than at a daily, or than a weekly.
I worked on a weekly newspaper called the Osawatomie Graphic News in Kansas. And the editor was Webster Hawkins. That was my first job out of college. And he would, I'd be typing up, I'd write my story and I'd turn it into him to do the editing. And then it never failed. About 5 minutes after I turned it in, he'd go, Ted, Come in here. And he'd want to know, what do you mean by this? And what's the, you got proof of this? And is this a direct quote? But usually it was, do you know how to spell? I didn't have spell check back then. It was just a typewriter, you know. And I remember my high school teacher, he said to me, Ludlum, how do you spell Ludlum? Spelling was not my strong suit. And so that's why I went into teaching. I became a teacher.
Was that they say those who cannot do teach?
Pretty much true. I became a history teacher, you know. And I write something up, have something misspelled on the chalkboard. And you missed a Ludlum, that's not spelled right. And I go, that's why I'm not teaching English. I'm teaching history. So anyway, it was a lot of fun, but it could be very stressful. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's why I do podcasts, because I don't have to spell anything.
Right.
Yeah. If I type up my thing, nobody sees it but me.
Exactly.
You know? Of course, sometimes I don't know what I wrote. What is that? What's that? They ever say, look it up in the dictionary. I can't. I don't know how to spell it. So, anyway, but you're probably pretty good with that.
Spelling.
Yeah.
You know, computers help.
And it's different.
They had the spell checks on there. I can spell halfway decently, but when I'm writing fiction, on the other hand, it's a whole nother ballgame because I just write. I don't care if I'm spelling things wrong. I just go.
Okay. Yeah. Just write it down.
Yeah.
That's right.
With it. Totally.
And you know, most of our readers probably wouldn't know anyway.
Yeah. There's Barney and Lupin.
I don't know. Well, maybe, yeah. Yeah, we better say that.
And they do notice typos.
Oh, yeah.
They do.
So one thing that disappoints me, I have not yet seen any interviews with Sasquatch.
Well, we can't find him.
Well, do you try? Are you trying?
I personally went searching, but...
Now, that would be a scoop.
All right, I'll pitch it to the editor.
Just do it on your own, freelance. You know?
Right?
Yeah.
To get him to have his own columns. His own column in it.
Yeah. Well, you know.
That's Black Porter.
You camp? Well, there you go. Just get out there, get your tent, and, you know, barbecue some ribs.
Lure him in with ribs.
Yeah. Lure him in. And then have your phone ready to record the conversation.
Right.
You'd get a lot of little readers. Or you can pretend. You know, I had a podcast a few weeks ago. I interviewed Uncle Sam.
Oh.
Yes. He was sitting right there in that chair.
A lot of people that have a lot of questions.
Well, we don't have the ability to have call-in questions yet. Now, that's something I have to think about how to do that. But he even brought his banjo. And that's a previous episode, if you guys want to look it up. But he sang, and he played the banjo, and he talked about, you know, his birthday was back in September. Well, it went really well. So you could probably find out what was Sasquatch's birthday, and that's a column, if nothing else. You know?
Now,
an interview with the vampire. Now, that's a book.
Sort of the same thing. Yes.
That's a thought. Get Tom Cruise to be in it, you know?
Fun.
So, do you have any big future goals with the Bonner's Ferry Herald here in the next 5 years, or you're going to buy it?
No. Not me. So, are you talking about, like, me personally?
Would you like to become full-time?
Yeah, I would like to be full-time.
That's good. You're ambitious.
Yeah, I would like to be full-time. I mean, here at the Herald, there's not a lot of, you know... There's only like four of us that work in the office. There's not a lot of anywhere to go.
Yeah.
As far as moving up in the business here at the Bonner's Ferry Herald. So, I mean, I'm content where I am as far as the Herald goes. And, you know, aside from me, I would like to be full time, but I like what I do there.
I got some big stories you're working on right now, though, that we can look forward to.
Yeah, I have some stuff that I'm working on for next week. And,
but secret. Is it secret?
Yeah, secret for I know.
Because you don't want the bee to steal it.
Oh, they always, the bee knows what we're working.
Oh, well, then that's part of the problem.
Well, because we're sister papers, so.
You work together. You don't compete.
Together, okay. And the communities are so close together that a lot of it meshes into each other, but we try to stay separate in a lot of the stuff. But yeah, we work together and have meetings together and stuff like that because our editor is the same for both.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you got any final closing thoughts that you'd like to share about your job and what it's like and Bonner's Ferry in general or anything?
Oh, I don't know. I just really, like, I keep saying it, and my biggest thing that I love about working there is being able to help my community, support my community, and be a part of the community. And I get to work with people and love my coworkers. And I don't know.
Are you working on any books right now? A book?
I
am. Oh, well.
What I'm actually working on right now, I'm actually, I get fired about this a little bit. So my sister and I are writing something together.
The water conservationist person?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So we've been working on it for quite a while, and then we had to let it slip, and now we're working on it again. So we're working on a book series that is, like, sort of based in this area, but we gave it a fictional name, but it's based in this area, and it's, like, a mystery romance. I guess I'm going to say some mystery romance type.
Is Bigfoot in it?
No, but we
did. That
could
happen.
We did make it happen. But it's a 4-book series, and we're hoping to have the first one ready by December.
Oh, wow. That's coming up.
Yeah. So ready might even go on pre-order before that, but we're hoping the first one, because they're like seasonally. So the first book is winter. The second one is spring. The third one is
whatever.
Summer, fall.
Summer, fall.
So, and each one will have a different mystery and a different main characters, but all with the same small town vibe.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Now, Stephen King kind of does that out of, he kind of, everything's based in Maine or something like that. Yeah. Something like that.
So, it's going to be great, and I'm really, we're really excited.
See?
We've been working on it lately.
I finally ask a good question.
They're all good.
Oh, so how would readers contact you if they had some ideas or thoughts of what they'd like to see in the paper?
In the paper. Okay, so you can call the office.
And what number is that?
208-267-5521. And there are two Jennifers in that office, so make sure to ask for Jennifer Wright.
Not Jennifer Wrong. Or not Jennifer left.
Or you can always talk to Noah if you have
Noah
stories there as well for that as well.
Okay.
And the email for me is jwright@bonnersferryherald.com.
Well, that's pretty easy to remember. How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And if anybody wants to contact me, can't imagine why after having you as a guest, they're not even listening to me. But if you do, you can contact me at NorthIdahoPodcast@gmail.com. And I will answer your emails, and I will take your suggestions seriously. And if you got some ideas or somebody you would like me to interview, and you got some names out there, let me know, and I'd be happy to do that. So, Jennifer, I think you got a meeting you got to get to.
I do. I think.
Otherwise, we could talk for hours.
And I'm happy to come on anytime you want to talk about anything at all. It doesn't have
to. Well, I think you need to do an Andy Rooney style 5-minute commentary maybe once a month. That'd be kind of cool. And I've got to find his book. I got it up there on the bookshelf somewhere. And you could get a clue or go on YouTube and type in Andy Rooney. Then you find out. Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks again for listening, everybody. And Jennifer, thanks a lot for your time. And I'm sure we're going to smash some records with this particular podcast, right?
Thank you for having me.
Guys, don't go away, as I'm going to wrap this up after she leaves with some thoughts and reflections, as I always do. Well, friends, what a great visit that was with Jennifer. I'm still amazed by how much she manages to balance writing for the local newspaper, crafting novels, and raising 5 kids. That alone should earn her a medal. But what really stuck with me was how she talked about creativity
about how stories just seem to find her, sometimes in the middle of a busy day. It got me thinking about where imagination comes from. The Bible tells us that we're made in the image of God, and that means more than just hands and faces. It means we share a little of His creative spirit. Genesis 1:1 starts off with, "In the beginning, God created." That's the very first thing we learn about Him. He's a creator. And in His own way, He planted that same spark in each of us. When Jennifer weaves together a story that blends love and mystery, or when she captures the real-life moments of folks around Boundary County for the newspaper, she's doing something holy, creating something out of nothing. That's a reflection of the divine nature in all of us. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works." I think part of those good works includes using our gifts, whether it's writing, or painting, or singing, or building, or simply encouraging others. Every act of creativity, big or small, echoes the fingerprints of the one who made us. So as I sip the last of this coffee and watch the morning light filter through the window, I'm reminded that imagination isn't just a talent. It's a calling. It's God's way of saying, "Join me in making something beautiful." Jennifer's stories remind us that even in a small town, creativity can reach across worlds, the seen and the unseen, and touch hearts. And maybe that's part of what makes life here in North Idaho feel like almost paradise. Ordinary people reflecting an extraordinary God, one story at a time. Have a good week, guys, and until next time, be safe.